You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 26, 2015. And this week, George and I are here to announce our retirement from esports.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name's Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. That includes competitive video games. Scott and I, we bring the heat.
I'm a gamer.
We bring the thunder. We bring the high scores.
The rockets.
We bring the sad shame and tears that we weep after we lose a match of basically any competitive game.
The rageful, impotent tears I'm
seeing. This week on the podcast, we wanted to discuss some of the competitive games in our lives. What brings us to them, even when we're apparently failing a lot? Mm-hmm. Scott, you got some stories to tell about how much you suck at things. And of course, what makes us decide to stop? Can I say, there are a lot of competitive games in the landscape these days. I mean, kind of like a thing.
The most popular games out there are competitive games, by which I mean League and Dota, basically.
Do you think if you took all the consistent player base from all the multiplayer competitive games right now that are really popular and added them all up, what percentage of the games industry as a whole do you think they would make in terms of, like, hours spent gaming?
Hours spent?
I bet you it's...
The only thing that would... Well, it depends. Do you think we should incorporate, like, any Facebook-style Bejeweled...
Those aren't games. Like...
Come on. Fuck you, Candy Crush.
Yeah. Save those for the not games.
If we're going to not incorporate free-to-play or social games, the only thing that would balance out, I feel like...
And we could even just say, like, PC and consoles.
Okay, so I think the only thing that would balance out the scale by itself is Minecraft.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, like,
but there are people who play Minecraft competitively. There are competitive servers.
I guess that's
that are
true.
Like,
I guess
last
that's true.
Man standing. Yeah. Servers.
They have those, like, weird, like, have you ever seen, like, Hunger Games style Minecraft stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I mean, I guess that you could even fold that. But you're right. Like League, Dota, Counter Strike, any of the fighting games.
Yeah. Like, Hearthstone.
You, yeah, like, yeah. You put all that shit together, like, the number of hours that are spent in competitive games is kind of mind-boggling if you think about it. Yeah. Which is funny because we still, I don't know, like, if you take a look at what is represented in kind of top 10 games of 20XX or whatever, like, it's almost always the
narrative AAA.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, here's another Uncharted, you know, and it's not because it's the multiplayer, it's because, you know, people have this paradigm that...
Well, that's also partly because a lot of these games just last so long, right? Like, League is 6 years old at this point?
Correct, yeah. It's like, how do you evaluate something like Madden, which actually probably should be a service now instead of a disc every
year? Now you're getting this weird, uncomfortable place where you go, you know, best patch of 2015, right?
I mean, we're getting to the point where that is necessary, because, like, if you think about it, like, best patch of 2015 we have in competition already, The Witcher.
Yep.
Destiny.
Splatoon.
Man. Oh. Okay.
Smash.
Everyone.
No one likes those patches.
You just witnessed the birth of a great idea, folks. If someone like Giant Bomb steals this, know that you heard it first. Best patch of 2015 is going to be something that George and I should talk about in December.
Patch 5.14. Yeah. Well, I differ. 3.26.
Hold on. We're actually going to do this. There's a few other patches in my head that are like, oh man, this
patch
is a good
Adams,
thing.
Great patch.
Okay, back to esports. Well, not just esports, but competitive games in general.
Right.
I feel like I've been spending a lot of time with competitive games recently because of Splatoon and Rocket League.
Those
are the two that I've just...
Both taken the world by storm.
Yeah.
Inky, shooty storm.
Inky, fiery storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been spending way more time with those games than I ever thought I would.
Mm.
You know, largely because Rocket League wasn't on my radar at all, and because Splatoon turned out to be deeper than I thought it was.
One of the ways that I think about esports in my own life is that I have X amount of space for competitive gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that percentage never changes.
Yeah.
So, say, if you took 100% of my time spent gaming, 45 to 55% of that is going to be a competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, which competitive game is that?
Yes.
Now, if you're saying you think you've been spending a lot of time doing a competitive game,
yep.
Do you think that this is a newfound thing, like a new interest of yours that wasn't being filled earlier?
I mean, for me, it's definitely that percentage, but there's been nothing that I've stuck with for, I would say, more than a year. Like, right. I don't have a league equivalent right now.
Right.
Like, last year, I spent so much time playing Titanfall.
Right. So you're like a fair weather fan.
I mean, I feel like even for something like Titanfall, not even fair weather. Like, I was playing that.
Like, it could be great weather.
I was like, I mean, it was kind of shitty weather towards the end there, but like, I don't know if people are still playing that game. I mean, I would still play that game, except that I don't, like, the time dedicated has now been taken up by those other games. I see,
right.
Like, I've even gotten in deep with something like, I remember, like, the Uncharted 2 multiplayer.
Yeah.
I played a lot of that.
That's true.
Like, I got pretty good at it,
too. You had these, like, weird spurts, Scott. Yeah. You need to commit.
I mean...
You're like, who's the basketball... Was it Michael Jordan who, like, played baseball for a while?
Yeah. I mean, he did okay. I mean, he did better than most other baseball players do in their career.
I heard Marvin Gaye tried out for the NFL. I learned this yesterday.
All right. Well, I mean, he made the right decision not doing
that. No. Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, yes, there could be a Michael Jordan-esque phase of it, but that would assume that I am the all-time greatest in some game,
yep.
And just a very, very good person in another game, which are both wrong.
So, like, what made you move, right? Like, did you make the conscious decision to say, I'm going to stop playing Titanfall and move on to this other game? Like, or, I guess, as a related note... Do you find yourself searching for that? Like, are you ever searching, like, I really need an esport right now. I need something that will get its claws into me.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. I feel like the skill ceiling matters a lot.
Mm.
Because it's not so much whether I can hit the skill ceiling, but how many other people have already hit the skill ceiling.
Because
I'll never hit it.
I don't have to be good. I just can't let my opponents... be good themselves.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Sure. Because, like, there's a point where I know, oh, you know what, another competitive game, Smash. I played so much Smash.
I play Smash almost every day at work.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was a mission, too. Like, I laid down the gauntlet for myself to be like, I'm gonna get over 50% win rate in 1v1 ranked.
Right, and did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the moment you stopped or what?
No, I stopped because of Splatoon and Rocket League, basically. Like, there was some, and then there were some other kind of patches that came out that I was waiting on, so I just haven't jumped back in yet.
When you are playing Rocket League or Splatoon, do you ever think, man, I kind of just want to play some Smash right now?
I do, but it's that skill ceiling thing, because I can only play a game... it's without a dedicated...
You need to 1v1 me, bro.
Without a dedicated group of people that you always play with... inevitably the public matchmaking will outstrip your skill. And that's all. So I basically start the clock. You know, a game comes out day one and I have a limited time by which I will be competitive.
You know, I think in no small part this is why League of Legends is successful. Any game that takes itself seriously is that it has a very strong matchmaking system.
Yep.
Because if you find yourself constantly against people who are better because the people at your skill level have dropped off and they're having trouble finding people of your like skill, then it's not going to be fun and you're going to get an increasingly shrinking pool until you only have the best or people trying it out for the first time or coming back now and then.
Yeah.
In League of Legends, they're both blessed with a very robust matchmaking system, but at the same time, they've got such a huge player base that there's always someone of like skill playing you.
There's always going to be someone new starting, which is not the case for something like Titanfall.
Like I was saying, I think in the video last week, I played a Smurf account in Europe and was just stomping level one players. I was that guy. Yeah. I was that asshole. I felt real bad, also real good. So, you know.
You're just reaping that. They were just lambs to the slaughter for you.
It's moments like that where you realize, like, oh, right, there is a sort of robust matchmaking system
here. Well, and you also realize that, wow, I'm way better than I was 5 years ago.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, if you were, but like, if you think about, I mean, I don't know at what point in Rocket League that I got that much better.
Yeah.
But I think back to the shots that were hard for me to make, and now it's like, oh, I really did increase my skill. Yep. It's just such a gradual, iterative increase that you're not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah, that increase, I think, is partly why I go back to some competitive games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, League of Legends, of course, I go back to partially because I can always recreate those sensations of getting better. Because there are certain champions...
You just switch up your character and be like, character. I haven't played this.
Yeah, and some characters these days in particular, because of a lot of changes that they've made in terms of redesigns of old characters or the release of new ones, are really complicated. There's actually a whole lot of skill involved. Or a new item change will change how you have to approach certain matchups. And all of a sudden I feel like, oh, you know what? I'm actually improving.
Yeah.
We have talked in the past before about those moments when you feel like you're not improving.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's probably the critical point where if I feel like I'm not even, I don't even understand why I'm bad. That's where I start to reevaluate whether or not I should bother to continue playing a game like that.
That's kind of the thing that always kills me on Call of Duty. Like, I feel like people are so good that I don't even...
Well, you know why you're not good. You're not 12 years old and you're not a psychic.
And I'm not... I don't have the sweet 420XX chronic blunt insignia
it's,
on my...
Yeah, it's like it's 13-year-old clairvoyants that are killing everybody in Smash. Or in Call of Duty.
I mean, and we say this because we've been kind of dipping our toe into the early beta for Black Ops 3.
I haven't gotten a chance to check it out yet, actually.
I mean, it's Call of Duty, right?
It's COD Blops.
Yeah, and you just die so fast, and the map control is so important that when you're playing with people that have already prestiged somehow, and it's like the second day of the beta, and it's like, man, like, I can't even survive long enough to truly understand what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
And so...
Do you ever go on mic and go, hey, guys...
Guys, I'd like to start a civil dialogue with you.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you've asked, Scott. Like, I've been waiting for someone to join the group who I could feel like I could really tutor and take under my wing. You know, really like take on an apprentice of Call of Duty.
I wasn't just funning around saying that I was calling your mom. I was calling her to get in touch with you.
I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to hear back.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, yes, she's also fat, but still.
I don't know. I just can't. People are just so good, and the mechanics of those games are so quick. Like, you die in, like, 3 shots, basically.
Yeah.
So, it's not like something like a squishier game like Halo, where you have a more drawn-out battle.
Right.
Like, it's just one and done, basically. And so, it's really hard for me to understand what exactly is even happening.
Hmm. So, that's a case where it's unapproachable. Like, you've played the beta at this point, and I'm sure we'll play the single-player game, but... Would you pick up and play the multiplayer game when it comes out as though that's like a whole new experience?
I mean, probably not because I'm just not good enough.
Well, so, okay, well then how about this, right? One of the things that has been on my mind lately, knowing that I have got this percentage lockdown time, is wondering whether or not I should make the conscious decision to leave some of the games that I do play regularly. Never League of Legends. That's my sweet, sweet baby.
Yep.
But maybe I should stop playing Rocket League or stop playing Splatoon or something.
Mm.
Or maybe I should even take a break from some single-player games and play a competitive game.
Yeah.
Because there are games that are not Call of Duty, but nevertheless will meet that same level of satisfaction if you're good at it.
Yep.
But they don't have that strong player base. Call of Duty is bringing millions of fans already who are so good at Call of Duty. But have you considered getting into like Ark Survival? Have you considered getting into... You know, Flock, the beta's out now. I think it's even open to the public. We'll be on sale soon.
Yeah.
Have you considered, this episode brought to you by Flock. Have you considered, you know, getting into some of the other, of which there are many.
I was thinking about Heroes of the Storm.
Ugh, yeah, Heroes. Yeah. I mean, that's a great example, right? So Heroes of the Storm is something where you'd think I'd be good at it because I play a lot of MOBAs. I have a lot of friends at work who play it. In fact, there's even like a work league.
Yep.
They're playing in. I have a former coworker I just found out today is really into Heroes of the Storm as well. So there's this like really strong pull for me to go play it. But because I know that it is a competitive game, it is going to require some investment. Yes, of course, I know you can, you know, one and done, play 20 minutes of Heroes of the Storm and you're done. Who does that though? You play like 5 matches of Heroes of the Storm.
Well, and also like the point of those types of games is to have a sustained cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just not... I mean, even Heroes of the Storm, you don't even unlock all the abilities straight up.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta play for a little while to get Jim Raynor's extra abilities or whatever, you know?
And do you really want to, like, sign up for that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean? Like, well, and also for you, it's like, it's like Apocalypse Now. Every, like, every minute that I spend in Heroes of the Storm, Those fucking bastards out in the are jungling out in they, in league just, I love just the getting smell better.
Of Cheetos in the morning.
But it is though. Like, don't you feel like every time it's kind of like when I'm playing, it's gotten to the point where I'm playing Splatoon, I'm like, I bet they're getting better at Rocket League right now. Yep. And then like while I'm playing Rocket League, I'm like, oh no, I'm missing out on learning the new maps of Splatoon. Yes. And, you know, like
this is how people become agoraphobic. Like I get to a point where it's like, oh god, I don't know, I'm just gonna play some League. You know, like I played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, and I'll save those thoughts for later.
Yeah.
But that game is so slow, and I had just come from playing League. Like competitive games are super fast. I was like, oh my god, like maybe I should just stop, and maybe I need to know more.
Should I be buying potions right now?
Yeah. Like there comes a moment where you know that like you're sort of missing out on that, but the investment is so high, and so you're teetering on the edge.
Yes.
Where it's like, do I pull the trigger and play, because that means I'm not playing this other thing.
Yeah.
And think that's something that's kind of unique for competitive games, because what you don't want, and maybe this is just the fault of human beings and the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
But if you put a couple hours into Heroes of the Storm and you decide this isn't for me, it's hard.
Right. Should I have him? Is that wasted?
Yes. Yeah. Are you going to feel like those hours were wasted? Yeah. Like you didn't get good. You didn't try to master it or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually something that worries me a lot about things like Dota. Like, I love the idea of getting good at Dota, but I know it's like Dota's one of those things where it's like, put in 100 hours and then you'll just suck. Instead of really suck.
I mean, that's why Heroes of the Storm is so appealing.
Exactly,
right?
Where it's like, okay, I know the basic mechanics. I don't need to learn build orders and shit. Like, I can do this, you know?
I mean, I wonder if there are people out there, and if you're a listener, let us know, right? Yeah. Like, but are there people out there who play, you know, I play one game of Hearthstone a week. I play one game of Heroes of the Storm a week.
Fucking
I mean,
stronger
It's the same way for Hearthstone. It's the same way for a lot of games, right? And I think I would pick up and play them and probably enjoy them, but, you know, I have to make that call.
Yeah.
It feels like I can only have allegiance to one. And to some extent, I'd rather try Ark.
Yeah.
Because they do weird stuff.
Yeah, you know? It's more unusual.
Yeah, there's a part of me that just wants to pick up weird competitive games.
I am the same way. Like, would I rather go deeper into something like Ark or try to get good at Halo 5? It's like, I'm pretty sure I kind of know what Halo 5 is going to be about. Like, you know?
But I could ride a fucking dinosaur in Ark.
Yeah, exactly. Take that, Master Chief. do you think one thing that I've
noticed...
Halo 6
dinosaurs this fall.
Dude, fucking Master Chief on dinosaurs. He already kind of looks like this.
He kind of looks like an Autobot?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he already kind of looks like a Transformer. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just... It's a tiny thing. That one tweak in Halo 6...
That's true.
Mash up with Ark game of the year.
The other thing I do as well is, right now it's the fall season, and while there might not be anything out, Metal Gear comes out next week.
Am I going
to have time, you know?
So I'll tell you this. I spent hours on Sunday playing through Ground Zeroes and all of the side missions and stuff.
Oh my god, you are a stronger man than
I. Do you know Raiden is in one of those?
Oh man, I think I might just watch a walkthrough or watch a let's play.
We should do a thing where you just watch me play Ground Zeroes.
It's just me going, what the fuck is happening right now?
Like, George, you don't understand. The Les Infanteries project is starting right in this time. Yeah. Like, yes, but that's another thing. When I was playing Ground Zeroes, I was thinking to myself, people are just getting better at Rocket League while I'm playing this. Yep. Like, every time I set up a sniping position here, someone is sniping from across the field, you know?
I mean, so do you play until you feel like you've reached your cap, your learning cap? Is that sort of what triggers your departure?
I feel like that's one of the major things, unless there's a group of people that are all playing together.
I mean, I think that's a big thing for me, right? Like, I play League with a big group of people. I still have a bunch of friends. Like, I was playing with our friend Steve the other day, right? And his brother Andrew.
Yep.
He got me to play League of Legends like 6 years ago. The fact that he's still playing at a sort of reasonable amount of games per week such that we can play together is a testament to, like, oh, you know, there are people there who will draw me back into that game.
Yeah.
I don't really play Rocket League with other people so much.
Yeah.
But if there were people playing more, if you texted me randomly and was like, George, Rocket League right now, I'd probably drop everything and play.
I mean, we should probably do that more because I feel like that's what will keep that game going.
That's what will get us to fucking Madison Square Garden this time next year at the Rocket League Championship.
I mean, I think the other thing about Rocket League, which and Splatoon for that matter, that really caught my attention was the same thing that caught my attention with Smash, is that the investment for a match is so low. Like Rocket League is about somewhere in between 5 and 7 minutes per match, depending on how much you score.
Yeah.
Splatoon is 3 minutes or whatever.
But that's true of most fighting games. Would you jump into Guilty Gear or Marvel vs. Capcom or Street Fighter V?
I mean, that's why... Well, I mean, all of those have a skill baggage to them that I would be kind of working my way out of. Same thing with, like, Dota or something. Like, not only are the matches 45 minutes to an hour and a half long, but you also need to overcome this institutional inertia of everyone being so good at them.
Do you remember those ads from, like, way back in the early 90s, late 80s, for people to help you game better?
Like ads in newspapers. Like the Nintendo hint line or something?
Yeah, like the Nintendo hint line. Or there were legit ads that were like, I will come to your son's house and I will train him to be a man.
Teach you how to rocket jump in fucking Quake 3.
Why don't we have that service anymore? Why doesn't someone watch me play and go on Skype and, like, train me? That's a good question. No. Would you pay for a personal trainer to improve your skill level in
the game? I was just going to ask, has anyone in the esports scene retired to, like, be a...
ELO boosters.
Not just for a team, though. Like, because there's people that,
become analysts.
Right, exactly. Stuff, yeah. Like, oh, you know, I used to be on this team, but now I'm going to go do their training, but just for this team.
I mean, the ubiquity of the internet... What more likely you get are people who teach you how to do things on YouTube.
Right.
Of which there are a lot of people who make a living off of the YouTube channels training people, right? I saw one today that was, like, really popular on Reddit that was, like, how to control a minion wave, right?
Yeah.
Plenty of people do that.
So it's probably, I mean, the economy falls out of the bottom then because...
Right, you no just get it on YouTube.
Unless you go very high level and, like, you are paying... You're going to go move to, what do they call them in Korea? Like a bon or something where, like, they all live in the same apartments or whatever and play StarCraft? Yeah.
I mean, there are people who become analysts and absolutely. I mean, there was a guy, I forget his name, Mr. Teacher or something like that, who was a high school teacher of math. And he also made comments on the League of Legends Reddit and would give tips, and he had a YouTube channel, and he got a job being a coach because he brings a lot of coaching experience and all this other stuff, right? But that's not too far removed in a way, right? Like you might not have the skills to be pro, but you have the skills to help other people understand their own weaknesses and strengths.
I mean, that level of investment is... So the way I get better at Smash Brothers is that I just keep fighting folks online. I just keep fighting and fighting,
I
right?
I keep bashing my head against a wall. It's like a scene from Rocky when he's punching the wall.
But, like, I'm good enough at Smash Brothers to see someone and what they're doing and make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah.
But to truly be great in Smash, you need to be in the training mode, counting frames and practicing the same move over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's a line that, for me, is hard to cross. Hmm. Like, truly practicing... is a step past where I usually get to game.
I mean, Smash is a good example. At work, when we play it, we play it most every day. I used to be really bad, and I'm still probably not the best at our team. But so, for example, I would try Mario because I heard Mario was good. I think you know what happened actually. You and I were playing, and a Mario spiked me off the ledge straight down. I was so mad, but I was like, "That's so awesome!" So I wanted to learn how to play Mario. So I practiced and I practiced and I practiced, and I wanted to learn more about edge guarding, and chasing people off the edge.
Yeah.
So now, as of today, I chase more than anybody else in my office. I will go way deep, knowing that there's a chance that I come back.
Yep.
And I used to die doing those stupid maneuvers 90% of the time.
Yeah.
At this point, it's probably like 10% of the time.
Yeah.
There's no way, as a professional, you could kill yourself as often as I do.
Right.
But it's super rewarding when it pays off.
Yeah.
And I know that I've gotten better because I've seen myself get better. And at this point, it's almost like, you know, I feel really good about where my Mario is at right now. Mm. I'm almost ready to pick a different champion and try to get very good at them.
But, I mean, you didn't get those skills by, like, honing your craft outside of a match.
No, not at
you
all.
You did it in match.
Yeah,
and so it's like the people
who... You play with intention.
Exactly.
You
know? Well, yeah.
I mean, there are times when I pick up Rocket League, which is really casual, just to play before I leave the house, and I'm very rarely am I ever playing with the intention of getting better.
Yeah.
Like, there are those competitive games where I'm okay at the level that I'm at.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other games where, no, I actually want to learn and get better. I mean, even at work, I'll ask my coworkers, you know, how come you were able to do that? Or how are you constantly messing me up with this, right? Like, grabs out of shields as I'm charging towards someone. Got mm-hmm. me a lot.
Yeah.
Until I finally said, what's the deal? Why are you pulling this off? They told me, and then I stopped falling for it as much.
Yeah. I mean, that's like one step past, that's one step before what you truly have to do if you want to be good at really a sport. Good.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I was watching a lot of tennis this weekend, and I was thinking back to my time when I would play, and it's like, yeah, some of your afternoons are just, there is a huge basket of tennis balls, hundreds, and you're just serving over and over again until that basket is empty.
I mean, yeah, that's why I don't really feel comfortable, though, for games.
Yeah.
Like, there are those times when, you know, I still want to play for fun. When I'm playing as Mario and I'm chasing off the edge and I know I might die, I'm not trying to die. I'm not like, oh, I'm just going to go randomly off the edge forever and keep killing myself, right? I'm still trying to have fun. But I'm also playing with this extra level of intent.
Yeah.
If I wanted to be very good at League, and honestly, I should do this. There are like handy tutorials.
Yeah.
How to just get better at CSing.
Yeah.
You know, do this regiment every day, and you will see huge improvement. Yeah. And I've really considered doing that, but it's just slightly over the edge of where I feel comfortable wasting my time.
Well, yeah, because then it's like, wait a second, I could be doing push-ups right now.
Or I could just play a real match of League of Legends, right? Where, look, honestly, the people I'm up against probably aren't as good at CSing either. So, yeah,
that's true. I mean, I guess it also depends on what you measure yourself against. Cause,
like, and I might, right? Like, in League, there are other people that I play with that are reliant on my ability to not be awful. Mm. So there's some level of pressure there.
I would say another thing that keeps me going with something like Rocket League is
motivational tips.
Just I listen to them when I'm asleep. They're hypnotherapy. I think the thing that has kept me at Rocket League that hasn't kept me on something like Madden or FIFA is that in Rocket League you are only playing as one character.
Yeah, you're one car.
You're one car. Like, you're not, your defense and offense, your transitions, you don't kick a ball to another player and then take over that player.
Hmm.
You're physically responsible for everything going on in a match in the same way that is similar to a MOBA, where, like, you can only play as yourself rather than something like Madden where you're kind of flipping around between characters all the time.
But does that make you more frustrating, though, because you're relying on other people for success?
Well, I do a fair amount of 1v1 on Rocket League just to kind of
that's
like...
interesting. So, I mean, why do you do 1v1 over 2v2 or 3v3? 3v3 is a standard, the most common.
When I usually play, I'll put on ranked 1v1 or ranked 3v3 and just whichever one comes up first, that's what I'll play.
But definitely not 2v2.
Not 2v2, because I feel like 2v2, you actually need a good doubles partner to play with, or else it'll just be frustrating.
Yeah.
I think I would just text you and say, like, hey, let's play 2v2, and if not, 3v3, because, like, once you have that third character, it's hard to, I don't know, it's much harder for me to accept not being able to communicate when there's only one other person on the team.
Yeah, makes sense.
But for 1v1, I think that's where a lot of the true, like, skill shots come into play. Like, that's where you learn a lot of the, like, meta game of Rocket League.
Right.
And so that's why I play 1v1, because I think it's interesting just to see. It's by far the most frustrating version of Rocket League.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is like tennis or boxing or something. Like, if you lose, it's because you fucked up. You know? Like, or the person is just way, way better than you, which is also frustrating.
It's kind of like the workplace.
Well, no, the workplace is like 4-on-4. There's a bunch of crazy bullshit. You just blame everybody else.
Like, oh, it's definitely that guy's
fault. People are just ramming into you as
Jerry,
you set up the shot.
I clearly handed you that report last night.
Just kicked it wide. Yeah, so that, I mean, but the idea that you're always playing as one type of, that you're always playing one consistent character is something that I like quite a bit for something like that. Hmm. Keeps me going on Rocket League.
Yeah, I mean, I like that idea a lot. The feeling that it's the ball's in your court, you know, like, especially when it comes to learning how to improve.
Yeah.
There are those matches in League where someone is just truly awful.
Yeah.
And you can't even communicate. So it's really frustrating to learn how to apply what lessons you have learned.
Yep.
Yeah. That could be really frustrating.
Splatoon
is a similar way, though, right? Yeah. Where you can't really talk with anybody else. You can't ping the map in a really easy way, right? You were complaining about how you'd put beacons and no one would use them.
God.
And that's super common in Splatoon. You can't really text the team and say, hey guys, use my fucking goddamn beacons, you stupid squidlings. So there's not, you know, there's not much you can do there.
Yeah.
There are times like that, though, where you just go, okay, well, then I'm just not going to use the beacons. And at that point, maybe you're applying the wrong lesson. Like, you're not getting out of the game what you would get out of the game if we're actually more sort of team-oriented.
Well, I wonder, I mean, it's still a relatively new mode, but they're, like, adding in voice chat for, like, team-based modes and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, I saw that they added the ranked thing. I didn't realize they were adding team stuff.
I mean, they now you can, like, voice chat with your team or whatever. I think if you're just playing ranked team, I don't know. Splatoon has a lot of weird rules around that sort of stuff. But the point is, they are adding voice chat into a certain number of modes. Mm. And that is something that I think will change the meta of the game, if you will. Because now item types that require that communication are now useful.
Yeah.
Where it's like, guys, I just put 3 beacons. Look at your game pads. You know, like,
for God's sake.
Yeah. 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 Do you think that, before we close, do you think that you will stick with any of these sub-competitive games aside from League?
So I actually just bought Splatoon, like, 3 days ago.
Okay.
Because I had it on Gamefly for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because I haven't played it a lot. Like, I want to.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that by me making a poor financial decision,
exactly,
it'll force me to play more of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really hoping I start to move away. I don't see a world in which I play both Splatoon regularly and Rocket League regularly.
Yeah.
I think it's one or the other for me, because I still play League regularly and I just don't have that much time to commit. I could see myself picking up Rocket League for quick sessions, but Splatoon is somewhat similar. I mean, it's only
a few minutes per match,
longer prep time to get into a match.
Yep.
I hope I stick it out with Splatoon, because I still think that's a really interesting competitive game with a lot of room for, like, new modes and variability and stuff like that.
Same here. I am a similar way. And sadly, the thing that's been displaced for me has been Smash. I've played far less Smash than I used to before the other Rocket League and Splatoon have come out. And I don't really know what would get me back there.
I only just play Smash local now. Like, I haven't played online in forever. My meta is like 4 people I work with, right?
Yeah.
I think the one thing that could pull me away from both is those weird competitive games. Like Ark now has a Hunger Games style map.
Yeah.
That's literally like there's supply drops and the map increasingly shrinks. That's cool. Weird gameplay is super interesting to me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I really enjoyed Flock, so I'm definitely going to give that a try
at
some point. So once I can try to commit to that, or even Heroes of the Storm, right? Like, I've got friends who play, so maybe that'll be enough. At which point, you know, maybe I just do a League in Heroes of the Storm and I'm just a MOBA nerd.
The thing that sometimes galvanizes me is like seeing Evo, and it's like, oh man, that's what people are doing in Smash these days. Holy crap, I should get back into Smash.
Because, like, after watching Evo, me and my coworkers were literally like, man, we should go to Vegas next year. We should go to Evo and compete just for fun. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. I mean, you get into some bad, shady backroom money match deals.
And next thing you know, I've, like,
signed away the deed of your house.
Exactly, like, yeah. I'm, like, stabbed in a back alleyway with a pen that says,
one more match, Mario, one more match.
Ugh, real bad.
All right, well, let's leave it there for now. I'd be interested to hear folks' opinions on what types of competitive games they stick with. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our online dojo. We will train you to be the best around.
At listening to podcasts.
You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Oh, I'm going to be at PAX Prime on Friday.
Yep.
Talking with a bunch of smart people about esports.
Yep.
I don't have to speak, which is great as a panelist. It's just a bunch of other people. So come on by Friday, 5 o'clock.
Just make sure you get you could just
Sasquatch
learn at the feet of these.
I mean, it's actually super interesting, because all of these questions that we're discussing, like, oh man, what keeps people here? What brings you back? They have to figure out fucking real fast because there is a lot of competition.
Yep. All right. Until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time.